have a word of prayer over my lesson. Yeah, that's a big change from what you just saw in it. Let's have a word. Heavenly Father, I first come to you and I thank you for compassion and the people that work in compassion. And I thank you for Jenny and her heart and how you've spoken through her. And Lord, I know that that's you, your hand, your will. We are your hands, your feet, your mouth, your heart. And I pray that you'd move all over the congregation and let us be a part. Lord, where we live, what we have, we don't have an excuse to not be your love to the world. So Lord, let us just hear from you and know that we're following you. And I pray that you'd move us. And Lord, I pray that you'd touch this short lesson that I'm going to bring now and start with me. And it's where it started in the first place. And let everybody see and hear and feel what you want them to get from this message. In Christ's name, it's all yours, Lord. You're already here. Just help us not to get in the way of what you want to say. In Jesus' name, amen. Focusing on what's really important and what really matters. Paul, Apostle Paul, sitting in a prison in Rome, writing to a church in Philippi, penned the following words. Philippians 1:10. I love this translation. Listen closely to how he says this. For I want you to understand what really matters, so that you may live pure and blameless lives until the day of Christ's return. That's a powerful statement that unfortunately many of us have a very blurred view of at best in this world. And in the Truth Project in Sunday school, we've been spending several weeks understanding society's view of the world, secular-wise, versus Christian views of the world, and how most Christians have some degree of mix between what they should see the world like versus how the secular world sees it. Most of us Christians have a very mixed, blended worldview. We think we got a Christian worldview, but we don't. It's very blended. And it makes it hard for us to see through God's eyes of what really matters. And oftentimes our biased and tainted worldviews come because of the media and the entertainment around us. And I want to ask you this. When you look at the media, when you look at advertising schemes, when you look at sitcoms, when you hear talk shows, when you're looking at movies, what based on those things, advertising schemes, sitcoms, movies, magazines, what based on those things seems to be of utmost importance to people in their lives today? Just based on everything that we see, and it's just poured out in front of you, what's important, everything that you see, tell you what they are. First and foremost, what is every ad sold to you with? What does every movie have to be chocked full of? What does everybody and everything tell you that, hey, in this time and age, you should have no boundaries, that you should be allowed to do what you want, you're a responsible adult. Sex sells everything. If we pay attention only to the media, only to the ads, only to the movies, only to the sitcoms, and we decide what is of utmost importance to us today, Freud would be proud because number one on our agenda would be sex. That's simple to understand. Falling right in behind that is your physical image. You know that we have in our culture, this is what you should look like. And you are pretty much crucified if you don't look like this with your body, male and female anymore. And it goes beyond that. It even goes to your looks in general. People are going through the craziest surgeries and the craziest diets and the everything is just so I can look so, just so I can be so. And we've forgotten all about how beautiful everybody is individually. If we look at the culture media-wise and we find out what is of utmost importance today, right behind sex, it would be what your appearance is to the world. Are you going to tell me I'm lying? Absolutely not. Luckily, I fit that mold. I'm just kidding. Next. What? Son? At least you're awake. At least you're awake. Third, your social image and your status. You know the world of Facebook and anything else, and even down to Disney movies, what you have, what phone you have, what kind of clothes you wear, who you hang with, how good you are in your field, how smart you are, what kind of car you drove, you know everything in our culture centers around this. If we decide what's of the utmost importance. And lastly, and this is all the ones I'll mention, these are some of the top four that I saw and read about. And this one is so true. In today's world, your independence and self-sufficiency. Especially for women today. If you're not independent, if you in any way, shape, form, or fashion show that you need a man in your life, you are weak and pathetic. And anybody, anywhere that has to show that they need anyone besides themselves to get along and be successful are pretty much considered weak. And you know, psychologists in the UK and the United States, secular psychologists are saying that one of the biggest problems with our psychological problems and our depression and our anxiety are coming from people trying and striving so hard to be independent. We've lost our codependency on one another. We've lost our support system, and we are living such individualized lives that it's killing us in our striving to be independent and self-sufficient. And that's another big sign. That's of utmost importance today. I don't need anyone to get along. I can handle myself. And we know, even as a neighborhood, how many people in the neighborhood even help each other or turn to each other? How many times do you not even want to turn to your family? And these are just four. But just based on these four, based upon the way we live in this room and the way we act and the way we spend money and what excites us and what upsets us and what we look forward to, how many of us think of things that are of utmost importance in our life based on the world and the media that we get fed from? How many of you are overwhelmed with how you look and how much you weigh and what you drive and whether you have enough stuff? Do you realize every one of us bases our life on what we have and whether it's up to standard and up to par and whether we look okay in society and whether we're poor or rich, and almost all of it is based on the media structure of what is important to have and how to look. And if you erase that media and the expectations from our society, do you realize how different your view of your life would be? We're influenced and we don't realize it. Do any of these things, ask yourself, and again, this isn't guilt, just like you were saying. This is, we really need to come to realization of what's important. Because we have a very tainted view of what is important. And that's why we have divorce. And that's why we have anger and depression and anxiety. And do any of these things seem overly important to you? Be honest with yourself. I had to stop this week. You guys know all that I heard in Cleveland. And God's got it. He really does. But hearing all that in Cleveland, and right before I left for Cleveland, I got a call. How many of you remember back on last year, this exact time, run to the wall? When I was going there, I got a call while I was there from a friend in my neighborhood that said there's an old man on our street that told me he wants to know finally about Jesus and salvation. So I ran home, and I went and spent the whole night with him. I didn't leave till like 1 in the morning. Had to go back to work at 3. And begged this guy and showed him and answered every question. And he told me, I absolutely believe in Jesus. I know he's real. And I pray every night, but I'm not going to ask him to forgive me. And I'm like, you're the craziest man I've ever met. Why? He said, because I know how I've lived and I don't deserve forgiveness and he doesn't want to forgive me. I'm beyond forgiveness. And he sat there in tears and would not accept Christ. And it's the first person I've ever seen that was that honest. And I tried to explain to him, God doesn't love like you love. You're just a bigger trophy to God. And if the blood of God and the skin on his back wasn't enough to pay for your sins, what was? But he just wouldn't do it. Well, 2 weeks later, curled up in his little bed at home under his covers, he gave in and he gave his heart to Christ. And he is such a rugged, rough, honest man. When he tells you, I've accepted Christ, he's accepted Christ. He started reading scriptures as he grew sicker and sicker. He started talking to his nurses and his doctors about Jesus Christ and what Jesus did for him. And he told his nurse last week, he said, yeah, I know Jesus Christ has forgiven me. I just don't know why. And that's about as honest as you can get. Well, he passed away the day before I had to leave for Cleveland. And it's glorious because we know where he is, 100%. So I hear about that, and they asked me the day before I leave for Cleveland, the day you get back from Cleveland, can you come down, talk to the family, learn about him, and preach his funeral? Which, how, what an honor. So I go to Cleveland. I hear all this mess at Cleveland. I come home. I'm sitting down with this family and talking about him, and then I preached his funeral yesterday. So they tell me not to be under stress, and then ever since Thursday, I think I've slept 3 hours because it's been the craziest weekend of my life. But I'm seeing all these things. I'm hearing this stuff at Cleveland. It gets you thinking. I come home and I bury this man and talk to his family. It gets you thinking. And God has already given me this lesson before any of this. And it's just hammering me. What's important? Everything the media is telling you is important, and everything you're living for right now because you think is important was not what I said was important at his funeral yesterday or in any funeral I've ever preached. I have never preached a funeral, or I have never, let's take it back one step. I've never gone to see anybody in the hospital or in their house, and they just got news they're going to pass away soon, and they're on their last leg, and I've never heard them say how excited they were about the affairs they had while they were married. It wasn't of the utmost importance to them anymore that they had cheated on their wife. The excitement of that adulterous moment was not that pleasing moments before their death. It wasn't of the utmost importance to them anymore how their body looked, or if their makeup was right, or if their selfie was going to be accepted on Snapchat. None of them wished they had more chances to keep watching porn, because it was so important to them. This one hurts. None of them was proud of all the fights they won with their spouse and ended up making themselves look good and their spouse look dumb. That wasn't important anymore. None of them really wanted to show at that point how independent they were and how they didn't need anybody anymore. Farthest thing from it. Most of them don't want an ounce of independence. They want every touch, every word they can get. Didn't matter how many ball games or golf rounds they had won. And they sure as heck didn't care what kind of car was parked in the driveway or what kind of clothes they could put on if they didn't have on a hospital gown. What you think is important and you are striving every day for is a ball of junk that's been sold to you from a secular world that is broken and you've bought it. And you need to learn to ask the question, what is important? There's only a few things that are ever going to matter in the end. And God gives us a hint, and this is short and sweet, and I will be done quick. But, boy, is this, it's so real to me right now and so powerful and just sweet. My wife has tried to tell me this for years. God says there are a few things that are eternal. If you stop and ask yourself what is important and you get rid of the sandbag crud answers of the world, and they don't know what they're talking about, obviously, because if they did, the suicide rate and the depression and the drug abuse surely wouldn't be there if we knew what was all important and that's what we were living for, would it? Sure didn't work for them, did it? But if you begin to understand what's important in God's eyes, like we say we hope we do and we live for and we don't, the first question you have to ask, the only question you have to ask, the most important thing you could begin with is this. Nothing's important if it's only going to last you 60 or 70 years and it's gone and you never knew it was there. The only thing that's important when you ask yourself every day with every decision you make and everything that you do and every attitude that you take, if you ask yourself what's really important, and you can lose yourself so quick in a job that's going to promote you and in a relationship that you have and in the fun that you're having and the way you pour yourself into a hobby, it's easy to forget what's important. But if you're going to decide what's important, then the first question you have to ask is, what does God consider eternal? Because if it's eternal, it's important enough for me to invest these few ragged years that I have into it. Because I'll have it forever. Right? Is that a fair judgment call? That if we're going to follow God, the only question we have to ask is what is truly eternal. So if that's the case, then let's look at God and let's start there and let's stay there. Because these things, and listen, these few things that we're getting ready to talk about, if we know they're eternal and we believe it, it all comes down to that. Do you believe in God or not? If you do, then just shake it. Listen to what I'm saying and shake it. Shake the world's view of what's important and start asking yourself, is this important in God's eyes? And if it is, then those things that you decide are important, then that needs to be what you base your choices on, right? It needs to be what you focus your life on, right? Not what the crud load from the world tells you, but what God says. That needs to be what your focus is. It needs to be what you base your lifestyle on. If some of you would accept what God calls eternal, and this is my utmost important thing in life, versus what the world has sold you as a bag of goods, your entire lifestyle would be different, 100%. Every attitude and word that you spoke to your spouse would be different. And I don't want you... If you understand what's real and what God would have you to do, here's a problem. Some of us, we do understand, well, this is what God calls important. And so we decide we want to try to live that. But you know how we decide to live that part of our lives? As a side note, add-on. Something to stop the guilt, feel a little bit better and more righteous about ourselves. It's not our primary focus. We'll throw it in as a side helping of something or a dessert just to say, I did this for God. If you believe God's purpose is the reason you're here, it's what's important, then you clean the table and you put down a new plate. And that's first. And everything else is a side helping when you have time, if you have time. That's the difference between fitting Him in and deciding what's of the utmost importance every day of your life. Does that make sense? So, those are the things that should be your primary goals. Those are the things you should treasure. Let's get past what I got to do. If you've bought God's bill of goods and you understand it, then your job is awesome and God's going to use you in that job. But you know what? Your primary focus is what's important to God. Your treasure. It doesn't become what I have to do for God. If you understand, if it finally seeps into your soul, everything I've been totally whitewashed about by the world's view, and I finally understand what's important and why to God, and you begin to live for that as your primary reason, it'll seep into you and it'll become your treasure. And you won't be able to help but put your time into it and speak right and do right because you realize the value in these eternal things. And you realize how much of your life you've wasted on junk the world's told you is important, and you bought it. So let's start here. Here's what God says is eternal and important. Ready? Psalm 90, 1 and 2. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. From back then to forward there, you are God. So what's the first thing that's eternal? God. Second, Psalm 119, 89, forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. Matthew 24, 35, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. What's the second thing that's eternal? God's word. God himself, God's word. Now listen close to this one. 1 Corinthians 15:54. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. What's the third thing that's eternal? Class? You and me. God. God's word. You and me. That's all that's going to make it out of here. Anything else that is your primary focus, rather than just being a tool for those three things, you have missed the boat and you are following what the world tells you is of the utmost importance. Have you bought into it? So let's look at them just for a second. And what we're going to do in the next just few minutes, we're going to do it very rapidly and we're done. Look at each one, and I'm going to ask you a series of questions, and then we're going to be done. And I want you to judge for yourself. Have these things infected me, or am I living with the question in my mind, is this of the utmost importance? The first thing that was eternal was what? God himself. Let me ask you this. And I mean it from the bottom of my heart, and it's just honesty, okay? If God is eternal, and God is of the utmost importance over anything in this world, answer these questions. Does missing work and missing worship in God's house with God's children carry the same weight in your life on the importance meter? Does missing work carry the same weight as missing time with God, his word, and his people? That is a very fair and valid question. If you know the utmost important thing in life deals with my God who is eternal, my God's word that is eternal, and my God's people who are eternal, and I'm going to meet with them, minister to them, love them, and learn about and worship my God, and that's everything that's supposed to be important to me, but I'll miss that because I got a hangnail, but I darn sure won't miss a day of work this year. Are you going to tell me that you are believing and asking the question, what's really important? I could care less. I love you, but I'll be here if you're not. But it's a good factor as to whether you are asking what's important in my life. That's not guilt. That's just fact. I mean, take it the way you want it. Does spending time talking with God and trying to hear his will carry as much weight in your life as spending time in the media to learn what's new and in vogue? Ask yourself, what do I think is important in life? The spending time with God, learning about his word, teaching your children, does that take the importance over being so busybodied, and none of this is bad, but being so busybodied in your sports and in your dance and in your family activities and in your hobbies that you have nothing left for God? But he is of the utmost importance. Why is the thing that is of the utmost importance supposed to be okay and understand when you can only give him a little bit once or twice a week when you're falling asleep on your pillow and you never show your family he's of the utmost importance and you never sacrifice with your family for what's of the utmost importance? And you chase after everything the world can give you, every hint, every bite of information and fashion. You just eat it up. What's going on? What's new? But you never need to know what the most important eternal thing in your life has to say to you. But I'm asking the question, what's important in my life? Don't flatter yourself. It's not guilt. It's to show you you're not happy because you are not living according to what you say you believe. Luke 10:38. I love it. Now it happened as they went that he entered, Jesus, a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house, and she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things. Amen, hallelujah, well, well. But one thing is needed. Stop. Jesus would right now scream at every one of you, my friend, you are worried about many things. Get over it. One thing is needed. You need to sit at my feet. And you need to know me. And you need to hear me. You need to ask yourself, what is of the utmost importance? You are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her. Martha, you can sit down and do what you should do too, or you can go off and be as busy as you want, but I'm not taking her away to do anything. I think Jesus is telling you it's okay to forget about all those other things the world tells you is important. It can go away or it can be waiting for you when you get back to it. It really doesn't matter. But you can only do one thing to please him, and that is to show him that you have decided he's of the utmost importance, and your decision in life will be that those things go by the wayside until I have set at my master's feet. And if you're not doing that, you have been engulfed by what the world has told you is important. And you just got to understand that that's where you are and make a change for you. I'm not saying this has anything to do with your salvation. I'm saying it has to do with one day when you face Jesus Christ. He's going to talk to you about what you thought was important. And right now, the joy that you have in your life is based upon what you decide is important. Talking about God, ask yourself this question. Does hurting God with my life choices matter as much as hurting my friends or family when the two conflict? What's really important to me? The opinion of my friends, the opinion of people that aren't even my friends, the opinion even of my family, or the opinion of my God who loves me and wants to know if I feel he's important enough to love him back at any cost? Talking about making God my eternal most important choice, do you spend more of your time, effort, and money trying to do his will or seeking things in this world? And we talked about this downstairs and it fits so beautifully. Listen to me. Look here. How much of your time, if you say my God is my most important thing and he is eternal and I spend time with him, look for him, walk with him, how much of your time do you spend walking day to day recognizing him and his hand and his creation and praising him and thanking him and seeing the wondrous creations of my God and watching it unfold the mystery of who he is? Or do you bypass every bit of it every day of your life, miracle after miracle that you live, breathe, touch, and feel and listen to? Every day you never recognize or see him because you're not looking for what's eternal. It's not important. You bypass all those miracles because you're so busy with what's important here. Job 12:7. Job says, in defense of God, but now ask the beasts, and they will teach you, and the birds of the air, and they will tell you, or speak to the earth, and it will teach you, and the fish of the sea will explain to you. Who among all these does not know that the hand of the Lord has done this? And whose hand is the life of every living thing and the breath of all mankind? Do you live consciously thankful to him of everything that you have? If you are walking with the mindset of what's truly important, you can't miss it. If you've been caught up with what the world says is important, you'll never catch it. How do you walk? Based on these things, with these thoughts in your mind, then I ask you the question once again, as I did at the beginning, what is of the utmost importance to you today? Does it include God the Father and Jesus Christ? What was the second thing we said was eternal? This will be quick. How long have you been a Christian? Do you know the very words that come from the mind of God and will literally endure for eternity? You have God's word in your hand and he says it will be here a billion years from now. 14.6 billion years from now, it will be here. You have it in your hand and you say, I know what's important. I'm not caught by the values of the world. How many of you, I don't care how long you've been a Christian, know God's word? How many of you study and thirst and hunger and rightly divide God's word when he's told you it will be here forever? How many of you, honestly, listen to me, okay, I'm choosing based on what's of the utmost importance to me. As a Christian, then do you know what God's word says about how you're living right now? Or are you more interested in what society says is acceptable about the way you are living right now? And are you taking God's word as a solid, clear, definitive plan for how you raise your children? When you get a divorce? When you get married? How you fight? What you choose to do in life? Is the Bible even recognized in those decisions, or do you just make your decision based on the importance of you and the world around you and then maybe pray to God, maybe complain to God because what you chose didn't work out right and he's not blessing you, so he might not even exist. But you say he is of the utmost importance. This is beautiful. Psalm 119:33. People, this ought to be our view of God's word. And listen to me. Look right here before we read it. You say it's hard to understand. It's boring. If you'll get into it with the understanding, these are the words. This is the character of God. And you will look for him, his love, his personality in every story, every page, every principle. It will begin to connect and it will come so alive to you that you can't get enough of it. It will. But you have to decide that that's of the utmost importance and you have to want it. Listen to the beautiful way the psalmist explains how we should feel about God's word. 119:33. Teach me, O Lord, the ways of your statutes, and I shall keep it to the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep your law. Indeed, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Make me walk in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. Incline my heart to your testimony and not to covetousness. Turn away my eyes from looking at worthless things. Did you get that? And revive me in your way. Establish your word to your servant who is devoted to fearing you. Turn away my reproach, which I dread, for your judgments are good. John 1:3-16. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us. And we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in the word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And by this we know that we are the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. The last one, God is eternal. His word is eternal. What else is eternal? You and I. This is where everything ties in to what we were just seeing in compassion. And I did not know what she was going to cover, but I want to show you this. And it starts with, we don't realize what we have. We don't realize what we focus on that the rest of the world has never even seen, that's of the utmost importance to us, but yet we say we're focused on God. And I looked up these statistics. And you just repeated them. Do you realize that one in three people in the entire world live off of $2.50 a day? If I threw down $2.50 on the floor, how many of you would run up and fight over it? Except Jay. Greedy little devil. That would be like throwing hundreds of dollars down in America. Listen to this. This is incredible. The Pew Research Center analyzed 118 countries, which stands for 88% of the entire population, to see where America ranks. And I want you to see what they came up with this 111 countries, 88% of the world. This is where you and I stand. Okay, ready? The U.S. stands head and shoulders above the rest of the world. In other words, almost 9 in 10 Americans had a standard of living that was above the global middle income standard. Most people in the world, the rest of the world, were either low income or poor. And relatively few were upper middle income or high income. Nonetheless, the majority of Americans are part of the global high-income population that resides almost exclusively in Europe and North America. These two regions accounted for 87% of the global high-income population in 2011. The rest of the world has a lot of catching up to do. Now, listen to me. You say we are focused on what's important. What did that just say? We are among the richest people in the entire world. We don't know it because it's all we've ever seen. But with all of that, all the riches that we have, listen to this. We as United States citizens lead the entire world on the number of people that are incarcerated every year in our country. We lead the world on the number of teen pregnancies by a wide margin. We lead the world in obesity and overindulgence. And we lead the world in mental health disorders. These statistics come from places like World Health Organization. And you can check them out yourself. And I did a lot of checking. You and I, pretty much everybody in this room, are the richest people on the planet. I want you to stop thinking about anything else you're thinking about and listen to what I'm telling you right now. You and I in this room are among the richest people in the world. Do you get that first? Now, Matthew 19:23, something you've always known, but listen to it with that said. Jesus said to his disciples, "Assuredly I say to you that it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I say to you, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven." What are we according to the world? Some of the richest people in the world. Based on that, based on God's scripture, how hard does that make it for us to get into heaven? He says nearly impossible. Why? Because you have decided what's important in this crazy rich life. And you and I will be quick to say how money changes other people, having no idea how much money changes you. It's never how much has money changed me. It's how much has money changed that guy or that girl. In reality, money, where we live right now, no matter how poor you think you are, the poorest person in this room is rich according to the rest of the world. And you have a certain decision in your mind of what is of the utmost importance based upon how you're living. The rest of it, starting in verse 25, when his disciples heard it, they were greatly astonished, saying, "Who can be saved?" Because Jesus pretty much said, nobody rich can be saved. And that includes everybody in this room. He says, but Jesus looked at them and said, "With men this is impossible, with God all things are impossible." He's saying, you are so focused on your riches that you couldn't be saved if I didn't beat you down and change your mind. Every person in here is there, but you think you're not affected by what the world says is important, but you are. Some of you right now can't clear your mind of enough to even grasp what I'm telling you. And this is big time stuff. We're not looking at these things, and I'm done listing them, and I'm getting ready to close out. We're not looking at these things to make you feel guilty, not at all. But what we're doing is we're taking a look, and we're coming to grips with, listen, what we have built an entire foundation to base the rest of our life on, what we think is important. And what we build that foundation on, listen, what we think is important is what helps us answer every question that ever comes to us. It's what helps us deal with every temptation that we ever have. It's what helps us make every decision, helps us in every argument, helps us with every reaction. What we think is important will decide these things. That's why you act like a total beanhead half the time when you have stress in your life or you get in a fight with someone or you don't agree with someone, because everything that you say is important is not important to God. You have to begin to live your life purposefully asking, is this really important? In this situation right now, what's important to God? What's eternal about what I'm doing right now? It's the real joy, and it's the only thing that's going to matter in the end. Let me tell you something. The next time you get in a fight with your spouse, you decide, is it more important that I'm right? Is it more important that I look good? Or is it more important that I show my spouse how awesome they are to me, and I protect this relationship, and I cultivate the love that I have with this person? Is it more important that you overcome that person at work and you get promoted before them, or you don't get blamed for something they did, or you don't have to look bad at all the stuff they said, you have to get even? Or is it more important that you can love them through their hatefulness and win their heart to Jesus Christ for eternity? Is it more important that you spend some bucks having nicer clothes or a newer model car, or you get two more vacations this summer? Or is it more important living as the richest creature on this earth that you spend 38 stinking dollars a month saving a child that doesn't know anything about Jesus Christ, how important they are, drinks dirty, filthy, defecation water, doesn't have enough food to eat, and you come up with reasons why you can't spend 38 bucks for the love of God, and you want to talk about, I know what's eternally important, but you can't get the word to a child, and this has nothing to do. I'm not trying to give a commercial for compassion because I didn't know these two were going to come together, but I'm telling you how God works is this. If you can sit here in all the luxury that you live in, and you do live in luxury, and you can even bat an eye that that might be God's will, that you sponsor a child that has nothing and doesn't even know Jesus Christ, but you can tell me that you're focused on what's important, you are crazy. And that's just the truth. And I could care less if you give the compassion. I'm just letting you know that you'll squander over 38 bucks and whether you've got it when you are the richest people on earth. And yet you say you've got your focus. There, how many people around you right now are dying that are rubbing shoulders with you in your life where you work, where you play games, where you come to church, and you don't give a hoot to reach out and love them back, but just say, I'm focused on what's important. How many people come in this building and could care less about one stinking person sitting beside you? You just want to get church over with, take in your sermon and go home and feel good. And yet you are focused on what's important to God. How many of you say, I don't even need church, I can worship God at home. But yet you say you're focused on what's important to God. So forget all those eternal creatures that are falling apart at church that might need me. Ask yourself every day, am I living according to what's important? Every time you get in a fight with someone and you want to cut their throat and you want to leave your wife or your husband, or you want to stick a knife in your kid, you ask the question, what is truly important right now? You know, it's so funny, it does take people that are close to death to understand for the first time what the truth was all the time. All the time. And they totally, here's the problem, they totally can't see it until the last days of their life. But in the last days of their life, nothing else changed, but suddenly they can see it. Why? Because they're so close to what really matters that everything else dissolves away. Why can't you let it dissolve away now? That's the end. My plea to you is to begin to ask yourself in every situation that tempts you to go in a certain direction, is this of the utmost importance? And the way you can answer that is it of eternal value? And you'll act different with your spouse, and you'll act different with people in public, and you'll spend your life different, and you'll spend your money different, and you'll care less about what you have. And you will find out the joy of living for what's truly important and eternal, because you were designed to live for what's important and eternal. You were designed. And when you find that purpose in life, it's going to change you. And then you'll find joy. But you won't chase. I mean, if the world is telling you how to live, let me close with this. Why are you trusting a broken, fallen, miserable, depressed, self-destructive, suicidal, lost, changing every week on what they think the truth is, world, to tell you what's important, and you are, versus an eternal God that didn't change yesterday, won't change tomorrow, and has all the answers? Which one is real wisdom? Ask God before you leave as we stand for prayer. What am I considering of the utmost importance in my life that doesn't amount to a hill of beans? And what do I need to change? That question is of the utmost importance. Let's stand for prayer.